This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Boeing's new contract proposal is worth their consideration, says the Machinist Union, which has been on strike for a month. ABC's Brian Clark.
The union credits the work of Acting Labor Secretary Julie Hsu, who's been in Washington trying to end the strike. That strike will end if more than half of union membership votes to accept the new deal.
There's a pay hike in the proposal, performance bonuses, no pension, but higher payments to a 401k. The presidential candidates are in the battleground states. Vice President Kamala Harris at a get-out-the-vote rally in Detroit. Michigan starting early voting today.
On Election Day, we don't want to have any regrets about what we could have done these next 17 days.
Harris also campaigning in Atlanta later today. Her running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, rallies in Omaha. Former President Trump has a rally in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. The U.S. Defense Secretary says he wants Israel to dial back attacks in Lebanon. This is ABC News. Lost dog scam.
Gabby Silvey posting flyers around her Los Angeles neighborhood for her missing dog Whiskey when she got a text message.
They said, "Are you looking for your dog? I think I found her."
The sender telling Silvey to meet him and the dog at a Dollar Tree parking lot. When Silvey got there, she was asked to Zelle money.
He then asked me to go inside the Dollar Tree store and get him a $200 gift card. And at that point, something just, you know, clicked.
Yep, a scam. Silvey calling her bank to investigate that Zelle payment and hoping that Whiskey comes home soon. Dave Packer, ABC News.
It's a trend that has surprised many. Why, despite complaining about high prices, have Americans kept spending at retail stores and restaurants at a robust pace? One key reason? Wealthier consumers, boosted by strong gains in income, home equity, and stock market wealth, have increasingly driven the spending, analysts say. That trend represents something of a shift from the pre-pandemic period. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The candidates for U.S. Senate in Wisconsin disagree over supporting Ukraine's defense against Russia. Democratic incumbent Tammy Baldwin and Republican challenger Eric Hovde debated Friday night. Baldwin supports the effort.
If Putin were allowed to run through Ukraine without our backing the Ukrainian troops, who's next? A NATO country? Poland? And that would mean U.S. boots on the ground.
Hovde says he's grown critical of the Ukrainian cause.
Well, I was supportive of Ukraine at first. The amounts of tens of billions of dollars that have gone to Ukraine that are not accountable causes great concern for me.
The race has tightened, and the outcome in Wisconsin could determine the balance of power in the entire U.S. Senate. Senator Baldwin's campaign has claimed Eric Hovde said older Americans should not vote. Here's Tricia Young with a Wisconsin Watch fact check.
A May 25th TV ad falsely claimed Eric Hovde said, quote, "most seniors shouldn't vote," unquote, which he never stated. Hovde, running against U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin this November, discussed alleged voting irregularities in Wisconsin nursing homes during the 2020 election. He claimed most residents don't have the capacity to vote due to short life expectancy. However, many nursing home residents do vote, often with assistance. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the mid-50s. Sunshine returns for tomorrow and even warmer, a high around 80. And up again on Monday, more sun and low 80s. Mostly sunny, mid-70s for the high on Tuesday. Slight shower chance Tuesday night and Wednesday. Currently at 75 degrees.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Travel Wisconsin's Logan Rogie, who joins the show to discuss fall hotspots in our beautiful state. And we'll go back to the future with a discussion about Back to the Future.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
First up on this week's Civic Media Spotlight, we'll hear from the Dom Salvia Show. This week, Dom and Jess dig into the saddest dance party ever, after Trump ended his own town hall very early. Additionally, after Harris released her medical report this week, they dig into whose health we really should be concerned about.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. It is a phone line. It is a text line. And we do have a couple of texters out there, you know, talking about the Donald Trump sunsetting dance party last night. It's out there, folks. You can see it. And it is crazy train. I don't care what you say. But here's what some folks say. Was it at least bumping music that people could dance to?
No.
No, I don't think so.
Look, I've been to some events where people chose their own playlists, and sometimes they're great. Sometimes they're really, really good. Yeah. People have a really good sense of what gets people moving and how you can interact with different groups. This was not that.
Well, I mean, but that would assume you want to interact with other groups and care about other people. This is self-indulgent. This is
one orange man.
Yeah. This is what gets me going. I think we have one more cut from Trump, and then I want to talk about Dr. Trump to you.
Oh, yes. Yeah, he's please.
He's pulled back the curtains on the medical report of Kamala Harris.
He sure has.
I mean, and
with his expert knowledge, I mean.
It's like all the megas during COVID were all of a sudden became expert in virology, right?
I
did my own research. I know all about the vaccines.
We'll get into it.
But let's not go there quite yet. What was it? It was the 60 Minutes interview. Now, this was from last night as well, right?
This is from two nights ago.
Okay.
And this is, you know, that 60 Minutes interview.
The one
that Trump agreed to, but then found out that there might be a little bit of fact-checking involved.
Can't have that.
We can't have that.
In my understanding, 60 Minutes put out a promotion of their interview with Kamala Harris and had a question and answer that weren't in the proper order. They edited it down, which they edited all of them down, but so I'm not clear why this one's any different. And I'm not clear that the answer given was any different or changed at all with the limitation of the editing. So that being said, I understand that Donald Trump had a big problem with that, but let's hear what he had to say. Cut number two.
Aye.
Her answers, they take it away and put new answers in. My answers, they just cut them up. So then instead of four sentences that are perfect, it's one sentence. What they did with her, I believe, is the biggest scandal in broadcast history. I do. That's election interference.
Yeah. And he would know.
They should lose their license, and 60 Minutes should be taken off the air.
You better get on there quick then, Trump. You're never going to have another chance.
No.
Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris.
Has released her medical report.
She has. She has.
And Donald Trump says, quote, there are some deeply serious conditions that clearly impact her functioning.
Clearly. Now, what are they, Dom?
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, I thought she was in great health, but once Donald Trump read between the lines, he has discovered that she can't do the job, Jess.
Why not? What is in the way?
She, it's hard to even, it's just so terrible.
I know.
Seasonal allergies?
My God. Seasonal allergies?
The world is so cruel.
Oh.
Seasonal allergies.
Oh, goodness. You know, I also hear, and this is really tragic.
Yeah, yes.
I hear that she's a little nearsighted.
Like glasses?
Like glasses.
So that means she can't see far, right? Nearsighted can't see far. Farsighted can't see near.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, how are you going to overcome something like that? If you're in the situation room.
I mean, we don't have the technology.
You know, if we get the Build Back Better money.
If we do.
Yeah. And we do. We'll invest in chips and glasses.
Glasses.
The HuffPost has informed us, and we're going to share it with you, Josephine Harvey reporting. Former President Donald Trump warned in the middle of the night. Now, let's remember the timing here. So this is after the dance-off, bro, where the dude stood on stage and whatever that was, and please check it out. He decided to go back and tweet it, like rage tweet.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He warned in the middle of the night that Vice President Kamala Harris suffers from, quote, deeply serious conditions because her doctor listed seasonal allergies in her medical report. In a series of posts just before 1 a.m. Eastern on Tuesday, that's this morning, he was.
Yeah.
I mean, all that energy, man, what the hell? You know. In a series, that means multiple,
indeed,
more than one,
yep,
rage posting, that's Dom's term, just before 1 a.m. Eastern on Tuesday, the Republican nominee lashed out at his Democratic opponent's desperate request for his medical records and insisted misleadingly that, quote, I have already provided them many times, including quite recently, and they were flawless. Nah, he didn't do that.
Didn't.
No. But he goes on. However, I have just seen Kamala's report, and it's not good.
Oh, goodness.
According to her doctor's report, she suffers from allergic
rhinitis
and allergic
conjunctivitis.
Oh, you're so good.
I'm training.
Thank you. A very messy and dangerous situation.
Now that's hay fever and itchy eyes.
Yeah, but
she gets a stuffy nose sometimes.
They're big words and they're hard to pronounce. They're multi-syllables.
Yeah.
Many syllables. Multi-syllabatic. There's many syllables.
Mm-hmm.
In the medical report and history issued by the White House on Saturday, Harris's physician said the vice president experiences seasonal allergies and hives. The report said her allergy symptom primarily consists of allergic rhinitis, which is hay fever, and the irritated eyes, and have been managed with medications such as over-the-counter antihistamines, eye drops, and nasal spray. Trump declared melodramatically, according to the HuffPost, these are deeply serious conditions that clearly impact her functioning. What? I mean,
Man.
Hay fever and hives? I mean, Republicans, are you concerned about the vice president's health? I mean, maybe they should impeach her or something, right? I mean, she's got hives and hay fever. How is she? If she can't do the job of the presidency, certainly she can't be the vice president.
No.
I mean, not with the old guy Biden up there. I mean, hell,
I mean, these are debilitating conditions, Dom.
I mean, my eyes get red sometimes. Is that because of hay fever?
Well, from you, I'm not so sure.
855-752-4842. Didn't Trump say his sniffles are seasonal allergies? So now he's saying they aren't. So I guess they're from everyone they thought they were from. As far as the sores on her hands, Trump had those too. James Carville says they're from syphilis, but I guess we'll never know for sure because he won't release his real medical records. Is that when he got the cocaine out? Matt from Germantown asked. Yeah, 1 o'clock in the morning, Matt. He
gives him that little perk.
Fired back up. I mean, who can say? We're who just say? Goofing around here. Say? I have no proof that Don or Don Jr. imbibe in the fruit of the cocoa. But he was up at 1 o'clock in the morning, rage tweeting about the very serious hay fever and itchy eyes and rash. The hives.
Oh, I mean,
the rash is one thing, but hives. But hives. Hives sound socialist.
Is that a little Marxist?
The Marxist hives, right?
Yeah.
Come on, you Star Trek fan. The Borg, right? It's a hive mindset. Oh, man.
We broke the code.
Oh, see, we got it all figured out. It's the Marxist hives that he's so concerned about. Oh, is there any more to this absolute joke of a human being? In the early morning, there's more. Trump has been flipping out at Harris ever since she publicly goaded him on Sunday to release his medical records. And Harris wondered, quote, why does his staff want him to hide away? Now, in the early hours of Monday morning, again, what's this guy in the early hours, man? He's get some sleep, bro. He challenged her to take a cognitive test, even though he's the one whose cognitive health has been increasingly called into question amid repeated speaking gaffes, mix-ups, incoherent ramblings, and erratic behavior. Harris's detailed medical record concluded that overall she is, quote, in excellent health. Oh,
yep.
Sounds great.
Yep.
Now, Trump's team has responded to pressure to release more medical information by pointing to two statements issued in July by Rep. Ronnie Jackson, a diehard Trump supporter who served as the former president's physician during the time at his White House. Didn't he also like have a pill mill going on in there? I mean, weren't they kind of just handing it all out? Those statements said Trump was doing well and recovering as expected after sustaining a gunshot wound to the ear during an attempt on his life at a rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. Trump also released a short letter in November last year from his personal physician stating, without providing any specific figures, medical history, or medications, that, quote, it is my opinion that Donald Trump is currently in excellent health.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's customary for presidential candidates to release medical records that include their height, weight, daily medications, and other health details. At 78 years young, Donald Trump is the oldest presidential nominee in history.
And boy, does he look it.
And he looked like that last night, man. I mean, maybe if you slept through the night.
Maybe. I hear it does wonders.
Some melatonin for the guy, man.
Yeah.
Put down the Adderall. And
put down the phone. Put down the phone. Let the blue light go.
And the Diet Coke. I mean, there's a lot of caffeine in those things, man.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. Before we run out of time, and we didn't get to this one yesterday, so we're going to get to it today. The recurring theme in the Trump campaign with him and J.D. Vance. Of course, Donald Trump, did he lose? Did he lose the election? Did he win the election? J.D. Vance sat down with the New York Times recently, and they asked him the question. Then they asked him again. And I believe they asked him 5 times. And we're going to get to that as well. Plus, the last segment of the day, 855-752-4842. It's never bad. When you join, do it now.
The Dom Salvia Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from 4 till 6. To learn more about this show and all the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Now, if you're leaving a job, unless it's like truly a terrible worst-case scenario, it's a good practice to leave your job on the best terms possible. I mean, you never know what or who you might need later. So here are my 4 steps for leaving a job without burning a bridge. Number 1, start by talking first to your direct manager. Now, you don't have to go into great detail about why you're leaving or what you're going to do next, but a when you're leaving and some version of a why should be in there. and 2 weeks' notice is the polite minimum standard for leaving a job. Step 2, email your resignation to HR and include your end date. Step 3, now if you are a manager, your direct reports should be the next folks you talk to after you and your boss have put together a plan. And finally, do the best work you can so you leave on the best terms possible. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Next up on the Civic Media Spotlight, we'll hear from the Chad Holmes Show. This week, Chad welcomed in 7th District Congressional Democratic nominee Kyle Kilborn to discuss the issues in his race against incumbent Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. You can also join us again by going to our Facebook page, 98.9 WXCO, to see a video stream as well to add your questions or comments. We are 21 days away from the election. Yep, Election Day coming up fast, 3 weeks from today. And one of the races we're keeping a very close eye on is the 7th Congressional District. Our representative to the United States Congress, Tom Tiffany, the incumbent, the Republican nominee, and the Democratic nominee is Kyle Kilborn. And we're very happy to welcome back Kyle Kilborn to the program. Kyle, thanks for coming back on the show.
Yeah, no problem. It's a pleasure to be on.
Well, number one, I wanted to say that I noticed here in central Wisconsin that Tom Tiffany is appearing at an event with Tom Cotton later on. And often people say that the people that you hang around with say a lot about who you are. I thought seeing Tom Cotton come to speak for Tom Tiffany says a lot about where Tom Tiffany stands right now in terms of the political spectrum. Do you agree?
I think so. I mean, we can tell, the events that he decides to attend and ones that he don't. And I think it speaks to, as we look into November 5th and who's going to certify election, that's one of those things that are going to come up.
Let's talk about some of the issues. And Tom Tiffany talks a lot about the border. And when you're somebody that's in office, it's about getting things done. And, whether or not Tom Tiffany focuses on it or not, he has not been able to accomplish a lot when it comes to border policy. Any of the improvements that have been seen maybe in the last year came after the executive order from the President of the United States after Donald Trump decided to kibosh the bipartisan attempt. I wanted to ask you, because obviously Tiffany talks a lot about that issue, what is your policy at this point when it does come to the border?
Yeah, I mean, it is one of those issues that hasn't been solved for decades. It's something that, we've just struggled to make strides. And part of it is we haven't taken a bipartisan approach to it. And that's one of the things that we really need to work on. It has to be balanced. So it must secure a border. Like that is, job number one, but it also has to fix the broken immigration system. And so, we need border security. We need to address the needs of our industry. I mean, rural Wisconsin, a lot of the labor that goes into, producing our farms and is migrants. And so we have to be very careful about the solutions that we sort of propose and get funded. It's a shame that, this Congress hasn't, tackled, issues like this, but it's, part of a pattern. They've spent the last, this session of Congress is the least productive in over a century. And as you think of that, you're like, gosh, what have they done? They've actually passed almost a third of the bills about renaming post offices. So that's really what they've been focused on. So we need new representation that's actually going to solve these challenges like the border.
And that's actually a very interesting point as well, because I think one way or the other, there's not going to be a large majority after this coming election. But we did see how just a couple of seats does affect the ability to get major pieces of legislation done that do actually aid the economy, aid the everyday lives of families. Because if you look at the first 2 years of the Biden administration with a very, very, very narrow Democratic majority, and then look at the last 2 years with a very narrow Republican majority, it really is night and day differences, aren't there?
Yeah. We know what this district is. It's a pretty purple district. If you actually get talk to people out there. And so we need politicians that are, willing to, shake hands and have conversations with the other side of the aisle. I'm willing to do that. Unfortunately, political games this session took priority over progress.
And one other issue I wanted to touch on, because in fact, I have not delved as deeply into a story that I just received this morning, concerning Tom Tiffany and an anti-conservation group named American Stewards of Liberty. And I'm going to kind of dig into this, but the idea of, in the 7th Congressional District, the importance of the environment and conservation. And yet, Tom Tiffany, I guess I'll put it out there, has a nickname, Toxic Tom. Can you talk a little bit about the comparison between yourself and the current congressman when it comes to issues of the environment and conservation that is so vitally important for the northern part of the state?
Yeah, I mean, it's clear. I mean, Tom Tiffany, you know, when he was in state legislature, one of the co-authors of the bill that sort of changed Wisconsin's mining law. And so now we have mining companies coming up here exploring and trying to build mines in Oneida County, in one of the places that was recently, you know, the county board took up that issue briefly. They luckily set it aside for now. But groups like, you know, what Tom Tiffany is working with are trying to reshape county boards planning and planning documents and moving forward. And so to allow mining, to allow more forestry, to, you know, take, you know, what is a public resource and give it to private corporations, you know, out of state, out of country, private corporations. And, you know, that's a stark contrast to, you know, my perspective is that we can grow this economy while we preserve our land air at the same time. And so I will be fighting for conservation efforts, unlike Tom Tiffany.
The health of our democracy and something that this organization, Civic Media, has been trying to pursue since it began about 2 years ago is the idea of strengthening our democracy. And when you see a lot of what is happening when it comes to whether or not it's the behavior of the top of the ticket on the Republican side during, you know, tragic times in parts of this country, when you look at some of the commercials and the way that the money is being funded into these campaigns, when you look at the discussions that are had, where I think, as you said, it's sometimes maybe a little difficult to try to pin down certain candidates in terms of what they really believe in as opposed to what they're saying to try to get elected. When you look at the health of our democracy right now, are we at a bit of a tipping point there as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think every election is, you know, a choice for voters, and, you know, we have options. And, you know, this year it's a stark contrast. I mean, do we want to continue down the path of electing someone who may not certify the election coming up? He's done it in the past. He didn't certify. And so, you know, thinking about going forward, you know, it's a pivotal moment. If you think about money in politics, you know, we have a candidate on the other side who's, you know, taking corporate PACs, taking money from millionaires and billionaires versus, you know, my campaign is very grassroots. You know, we haven't even had a max donor for this cycle. And so knowing, like, you know, I'd rather be in the position of knowing that we're a grassroots campaign and supported by voters and constituents to talk about and care the issues that people talk about and care about. And so I think there is a contrast in this election and knowing which way we want to go. And it's going to be up to the voters to make that happen.
In your in the last minute that we have here this morning, and obviously just 3 weeks away from Election Day, and often if you would have a joint appearance with somebody like Tom Tiffany, you get a final statement. What is the final statement you want to give to that you're going to give in the next 21 days to the voters of the 7th Congressional District in terms of why they should vote for you?
Yeah, I think, you know, for most voters, I think they need to realize, you know, my message hasn't changed in, you know, the last year. So if you look at my website, I haven't changed the issues I'm working on. It's about our working families, making sure that they're economically supported. It's making sure that our rural communities have access to the resources that they need, like our post offices, our first responders, our roads, our broadband. It's also about, you know, making sure that we have a clean climate and making sure that we have an environment that is here for us now, but also here for the next generation. And so I think those are, you know, areas that are most important to the people in the 7th District. And I just want to make sure that people know that.
Kyle Kilborn, Democratic nominee for the 7th Congressional District. Thank you again for joining us. Best of luck as you continue on the campaign trail for the next 3 weeks.
Thanks, Chad. I appreciate it.
The Chad Holmes Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WXCO weekday mornings from 8 until 10. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Boeing's new contract proposal is worth their consideration.
says the Machinist Union, which has been on strike for a month. ABC's Brian Clark.
The union credits the work of acting Labor Secretary Julie Sue, who's been in Washington trying to end the strike. That strike will end if more than half of union membership votes to accept the new deal.
There's a pay hike in the proposal, performance bonuses, no pension, but higher payments to a 401k. The presidential candidates are in the battleground states. Vice President Kamala Harris at a Get Out the Vote rally in Detroit, Michigan, starting early voting today.
On Election Day, we don't want to have any regrets about what we could have done these next 17 days.
Harris also campaigning in Atlanta later today. Her running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, rallies in Omaha. Former President Trump has a rally in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. The U.S. Defense Secretary says he wants Israel to dial back attacks in Lebanon. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
A showdown for the Packers and Texans. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the Houston Texans tomorrow at noon. I asked Green Bay running back Josh Jacobs at 5-1, just how good is this Texans team?
We viewing this as a playoff matchup. I mean, you know, that team over there, even though they're in the AFC, they have a really good team. I think that probably at the end of the year, they're probably going to finish, you know, top four in the AFC. So we viewing it as a playoff matchup, you know, to see where we at right now and see where they at.
Former NFL linebacker D'Amico Ryans has turned around the Texans franchise in his first year as their head coach and talked about Packers quarterback Jordan Love.
Yeah, watching the tape on Jordan Love, I think, you know, he's really very, very good quarterback. Talk about putting the ball where he wants it, like his pinpoint accuracy, like really good. It's got to be a big challenge. Everybody just has to maintain their focus, eye discipline, rush discipline.
That's Texans head coach D'Amico Ryans with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the mid-50s. Sunshine returns for tomorrow and even warmer, a high around 80. And up again on Monday, more sun and low 80s. Mostly sunny, mid-70s for the high on Tuesday. Slight shower chance Tuesday night and Wednesday. Right now it's 76.
This is the story of the one. As a warehouse manager, her job is to transform chaos into clarity and to see patterns where others see problems. Luckily, she's got a partner who shares her perspective. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products, backed by real person support and in-depth online resources, so she can tackle every task with precision and turn potential setbacks into streamlined success. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Minority Rule. The author is Ari Berman.
If you look back at Wisconsin history, it gave rise to Social Security and an unemployment insurance and collective bargaining. It really personified the idea that no matter what political party you were with, government should work for the common good. And Walker had a very different idea, that government should work for this conservative elite instead.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
And I heard the scientists say the other day that when a man votes for a woman, he actually transitions into a woman.
What Jesse happens Water. When a woman votes for a man?
Turns into a man.
Well, that's okay, though.
That's fine.
Yeah, because then she gets control of her body.
Oh.
I see what I did there?
Yeah.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on Earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping? Your mind racing? So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll look back at the weekend's news, get you up to date, and mark early voting in person starting on Tuesday. Be with us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to this week's Civic Media Spotlight. It's another congressional candidate up next as we hear from Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. This week, he welcomed on Senator Tammy Baldwin, along with friends from Motherhood for Good, to talk about the issues that Baldwin is fighting for.
Welcome back to Up North News Radio and our weekly Women Win Wisconsin segment powered by our friends at Motherhood for Good, Kate Duffy and Danielle Scampini-Lynn with us as often. Kate, Danielle, how are you guys?
Good. How are you doing?
Well, all right. Danielle, haven't talked to you for a while.
Life treating you well? I know. It's been a bit. Yeah, things have been a little busy with the back to school season and it's suddenly being, you know, winter apparently. But
yes.
Yeah, things have been good and we've just been hitting the trail. And
yeah, I was gonna say there's this other thing, this election thing that's going on,
you know,
as well,
that other thing.
And for all of these weeks, you have helped us talk to all kinds of legislators, legislative candidates, people from independent groups, and today we're moving on to the U.S. Senate race. And for that, I thank you at Motherhood for Good very much for helping arrange our visit this morning with Senator Tammy Baldwin. Senator, good morning, how are you?
I'm great. We have 19 days to go, and I am having the pleasure of traveling all over the state of Wisconsin in the final days, trying to reach voters where they are. And it's been an exciting race, but it's a tight race, and we've all got to do our part to get out the vote.
It's funny. It is that is just Wisconsin's known for dairy, for the Packers, and for close elections. And it's why you're getting around the state. You've had that bus tour with Governor Evers and Governor Whitmer. You've had Vice President Harris, Governor Walz all coming through the state. And what does that tell you about what you have to be telling voters in these final 19 days? Whether it's folks who need to be persuaded one way or the other, or maybe the better thing is persuaded to vote. What is it that you want them to know about the importance of this election date?
Well, we're the battleground state, and I mean the battleground state. We were the tipping point in 2016 to get enough electoral votes for Donald Trump when he won the state by 0.7%. And we were the tipping point state for Joe Biden in 2020 when he won the state by 0.6%. If anyone in this state says their vote doesn't matter, they could not be more wrong. These races are decided by a couple of votes per precinct in the state. And so I think that given the stakes of this election, whether it be our rights and freedoms, or just everyday issues like the high cost of things and the high cost of groceries and gas and housing and childcare, the need for good paying jobs and quality healthcare, all of those things are on the line. And people's voice is their vote. Their vote is their voice, both ways around. And we need to exert our voices to help encourage our family members, neighbors, and friends to get out there.
Yeah, it's get out the vote season. It's talk to your neighbors, talk to your friends, talk to literally everybody you've ever met in your life that lives in Wisconsin. It's like that kind of season, push the pride away and reach out to everybody, right? I want to touch on something you just talked about, Senator Baldwin, the high cost of things. So a lot of our community is like women and moms who hold a lot of purchasing power, and economy is a really big thing for them. I know inflation is down and the economy and market is actually in a really good place, but a lot of people still aren't feeling that because things like groceries are so high. I know you've talked about the reason for that being corporate greed and corporate profits. Can you talk a little bit more about that, about why people aren't seeing relief there?
Kate, that's such a good question. And one of the examples I like is very much a mom example. Think about the cost of diapers, right? Disposable diapers I'm talking about. So the big input is like pulp, paper pulp, right? It's a paper product. And by the way, we're like the lead paper producer and in the country here in Wisconsin. But, you know, during the time of the pandemic, all of our supply chains got totally screwed up. And so there were, you know, the demand for diapers didn't drop, but the supply of diapers did. And so what happens then? Simple economics, the price goes up. But since then, our supply chains have reset. And the makers of diapers have seen their input costs go down by 75%. So did we see a price drop for diapers of 75%? No. We have seen over the like three inflationary years, a 14% increase in prices. But corporations have seen 75% increases in profits. That's corporate price gouging in my mind. And right now we are pushing to pass legislation that would allow, a cop on the beat who's fighting for consumers. It would be the Federal Trade Commission. And just, I think, the simple threat of being able to investigate allegations of price gouging would probably result in a different sort of corporate behavior. But, you know, that's just one example among so, so many. There's been watchdog groups that have listened in on quarterly corporate earnings reports, and they've been saying, well, you know what? The consumers are tolerating our high prices. There's no reason to to drop them. And then we've talked about this before, but the shrinkflation thing, oh my gosh, like Dawn dish detergent. It used to be a 7-ounce bottle. Now it's same size bottle, but it's only filled with 6.5 ounces, whether it's fewer Doritos in the big family package. I mean, on and on and on. And, say they charge the same price, but you're getting less of the product. You do it with paper towels and toilet rolls. You name it. We're getting gouged, and we have to figure out a way to fight back.
Yeah, you're talking to, two moms of young kids who are definitely seeing the groceries fly off the shelves a little bit faster. And is it because they're eating more? Maybe not. Maybe it's because everything's a little bit smaller. Thank you so much for addressing one of, our community's like true kitchen table issues, literally. Mm-hmm. Another thing that is, so important to our community is reproductive freedom and reproductive health care. And while there are a few clinics that have opened back up in Wisconsin, we still live in a state where abortion is extremely restricted. And we've seen like very real stories of, Kate and I heard a really powerful story of a woman just a few weeks ago when Governor Whitmer was here talking about how she was, having kind of a later term miscarriage and could not receive the care because of these bans. And so, that is something that obviously matters so much to our community, so much to so many people in Wisconsin. And, your opponent is someone who is barely qualified to run for office, let alone make decisions about someone's health care. So just wondering, what you think we can do to make it clear as we're talking to people just how important this issue is at the ballot box, particularly in the Senate race this year.
Yeah. So this issue is all about who decides. And I hear politicians like my opponent say, the state should decide or the federal government should decide. Women should decide, full stop. That's what I believe. And that's why I'm leading on the Women's Health Protection Act, which is a bill that would make Roe v. Wade the law of the land throughout this nation so that your rights and freedoms don't depend upon your zip code. And I just want to emphasize that in a state like Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, we have a criminal abortion ban that was passed in 1849. That has resulted in care being unavailable, illegal, and inaccessible in 69 out of 72 counties. That means your rights and freedoms don't just depend upon the state you live in, but the zip code you live in. And our rights and freedoms should not be zip code dependent ever. It's frustrating because my opponent did run for office once before back in 2012. And he said he was 100% opposed to abortion rights. We have him on tape and video saying that. Of course, now, that's a lie. Just to be real, he's trying to change his position. So be it. Even with his changed position, he thinks states should decide rather than women. He celebrated the Roe v. Wade decision. He owns the chaos that exists across this country where there are states that have no exceptions for rape and incest, where there are states that have 6-week bans, Idaho that has a criminal restriction on out-of-state travel to access the care that you need. There are doctors under the threat of prosecution, and now we know women are dying. This is not a tenable position on the part of my opponent, and we've got to make that clear to every voter who cares about this issue.
Senator Tammy Baldwin is our guest on our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good, here on Up North News Radio. Senator, we know that the border, immigration, and fentanyl coming over the border have been issues that have been amplified, I would argue, disproportionate to some of the needs of the moms who are listening and their families. But these are still real issues nonetheless. And there seem to be mixed messages out there about your record when it comes to fentanyl and, you know, stemming this terrible epidemic of use and of deaths. So I'd like you to clarify what your actions have been on the border on fentanyl and what it is that's getting in the way of getting things done.
Absolutely. So I'll start with the border. We know that we need to restore order there. And this past winter into the spring, in the Senate, we negotiated a very strong bipartisan bill that would have added 1,500 new Border Patrol agents to our southern border. It was endorsed by the very conservative Border Patrol Union. The additional thing it would do that was very relevant to your question about illicit fentanyl coming in from the southern border is that it would have deployed technology that would be capable of scanning every vehicle entering into our ports of entry. It would have allowed us to interdict far more illegal fentanyl than we are able to today with hand inspections of most vehicles, not most vehicles, occasional vehicles, because that's the personnel that's available. And so why isn't this law? It isn't law because Republicans like my opponent, Eric Hovde, wanted an issue to run on. He wanted to play politics with this, and that was preferable to him than having solutions. Had we passed this spring, we would already have those 1,500 Border Patrol agents in place. We would have already been deploying this technology, saving hundreds of lives in the state of Wisconsin by limiting the supply of illicit fentanyl coming in. They wanted politics. We wanted solutions. It's a clear and simple contrast. But the second thing I want to talk about, and I'm so glad you asked it, was that, you know, the issue of drug addiction overdose is really, really personal to me. My mother struggled with addiction to prescription narcotics that her doctors gave her to deal with her chronic pain. And when I first came into the U.S. Senate, the leading cause of overdose and addiction were prescribed medication. Fentanyl was not on the scene yet. And we worked really hard to change prescribing practices across this nation, in the VA and in the private healthcare settings. And we did, but people who were struggling with addiction turned to heroin. And then we picked up our fight to combat heroin. And then the scourge of fentanyl came around. I fought very hard for a bill called the Fend Off Fentanyl Act, which looks at the entire supply chain, from the precursor chemicals in China to the pill presses and distribution from the Mexican cartels. That is one of many measures that I have worked on and been successful on, and we have more yet to do to get Narcan deployed across our communities, to get our first responders trained on how to prevent exposures to themselves, but also to treat people with Narcan. It is a battle we must all engage in, but one that I've been very proud to lead in the United States Senate.
We are talking with Senator Tammy Baldwin. We will wrap up our conversation right after this. You're up north.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow is affiliated with the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX. La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Carl Sarecki from Door County Trolley. Have you ever lost anybody on one of the tours?
The question really isn't did you lose people or did you gain them? True story, one of our drivers.
So he gets home, picked up a spirit along the tour.
Yeah, he's in bed, and then all of a sudden the treadmill starts up on him.
See, if I were a ghost, I think I would just get liposuction. I don't think I would mess around with cardio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on Air.
Vice President and Director of Marketing for Versity, Gretchen Jameson, is with us.
When you donate blood, there's a couple of different products, if you will, that your blood can produce. There's whole blood. You can do platelets every 2 weeks. You can be a double red, which is what you do.
Yes. For me personally, whatever I can do to maximize my gift, as you say, is worth it.
So you can go to Versity.org and take a look at all the different ways to donate and give.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wrapping up the first hour of this week's Civic Media Spotlight, we'll hear from Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Pete was joined by Jeff Tully and Jamie Kaler, who both worked for National Lampoon. They talk about dogs versus cats, their time with National Lampoon, and people of a younger generation. We are back. My guests are the voice of National Lampoon right now, actor Jamie Kaler, and National Lampoon writer and executive producer of many other projects, and stand-up comedian Jeff Tully are joining me here tonight for just a few more minutes. Jamie, Conrad's favorite show is How I Met Your Mother, and my message to you is just the window is open.
The window is open, okay. Baby. One of my favorite things I've ever done. It was really fun to be on that show. I always forget about that one too. It's crazy that, I mean, we talk about it. It was like, I remember you book it, you go shoot it, and then the next week you're like, oh, that's right, I did. It's like a 5-day thing. It was so much fun.
Jeff, you did something with Will Smith. You did a video, The Jump.
Yeah, I didn't kill Will Smith. I was because of my extreme sports background from the Fuel and stuff in Fox Sports. I was in way too much faith in me, but it was a YouTube live event. Will Smith, for his 50th birthday, jumped out of a helicopter over the Grand Canyon.
Oh my gosh.
It's actually Grand Canyon adjacent because the rules you couldn't do in the actual Grand Canyon, but it was right next door. And yeah, he jumped out of a helicopter on a bungee cord and he lived. So I get credit for him.
Was he farting the whole time from the helicopter into the canyon? Did you read that story?
I did, with Tommy Lee Jones in the Men in Black car.
And as he's ripping one, he says, "I'm sorry" to Tommy Lee Jones. That almost made me like him a little more after the Chris Rock thing, but I still can't get there.
You know, you can still see some of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, like, to his credit. I mean, the guy was, he wasn't an actor, he was a rapper, but in some of the early episodes, you can see his mouth saying the other lines of the other actors.
Oh, seriously? Right? Oh, that's so great. Yeah, yeah. That sounds like a drinking game almost or something. Jamie, you were in the middle of saying something when we went to break.
I don't know. It's probably garbage.
You're talking about your deadline.
I got two kids. Oh, I do the parents' lunch. So it's funny too, because my wife's out of town with one of my kids. She went back east for a family visit. And so I have my one daughter literally in the other room where I have to go like, go watch TV. And I have her iPad here because otherwise it'll drain the Wi-Fi. So I steal her iPad.
Oh, nice.
I'm a 60-year-old guy with a 9-year-old kid. I'm hanging on by
no way are you 60.
Oh my God, my favorite.
Whoa. 60. I just turned 60 2 weeks ago, man. Oh, no, this is all. This is just AI. This is a puppet head.
Yeah, it's working, man.
I'm in the other room moving levers. It's not happening.
Talking about kids and technology, Jamie, tell Pete what you're telling me about the difference between your generation and your kids' generation when they go out to events and stuff like concerts. And they don't.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, as a 60-year-old, I always tell people, I go, having kids at my age is like getting a DUI just as you pull into the driveway. You're like, dude, I was almost home. I was so close, officer. This is my yard. And he's like, no, man, you're under arrest. And your punishment is you're going to be bankrupt and tired for the rest of your life. But
oh my gosh, that's funny.
I didn't have, you know, I have to tell my daughter I grew up without a cell phone. Because, you know, when I was a kid, if you went to a concert and you lost your friends, you made new friends. That's how that show went. Sometimes those friends turned out to be cooler than your old friends, and they became your friends because you had social skills and can talk to people face to face and maintain eye contact. It was a weird time.
We got someone who's got your back here. Amanda Nimmer says, no regrets walking my ferrets on walks and chinchillas bathe in sand.
It's true.
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe that's why
insane.
They're so soft. They get a nice, like a sand, like a suede stone where they rub their fur or something. But yeah.
That's lovely. It's so weird because I tell my kids that too. Like, I try not to be that dad where I'm like, you know, I didn't have cell phone. That's all just when we were born. We have no control over it. So those idiot parents who say, when I was a kid, well, when I was a kid, if I was a kid now, I'd be doing the same thing the kids are now. This is not a superpower we all have. We were just born when we were born. And the minute I say, put your phones down, the second I move and I pick up my phone because I can't live without my phone either. Mm-hmm. So it's like one of those traps.
We signed a pledge for my 11-year-old, and all the parents pledged we would not buy our kids phones until high school. And so I felt bad for her. She was like kind of angry and she wanted a cell phone. So on the way to and from school, I would let her play music on my cell phone in the car. And I don't know if you know how algorithms work, but now my phone thinks I love Taylor Swift.
And
so I just get all this Taylor Swift merch ads and Travis Kelce updates. And then I have to sit there and go, oh, hi, it's me. I'm the problem.
Yeah.
I'm shake it off.
I have a 13-year-old daughter. I know what you're referencing.
Jeff.
Dude, the problem is they're on an iPad. Like she doesn't even have books. The iPad is the book.
Right.
Can you imagine if you were in high school and you were three clicks from gratuitous bad videos that young men should not be watching, and you were trying to do your homework and you're like, well, if I just touch this button and this button, I'm going to get I'm going to watch a party happening. And I would have never got through high school.
That's what we used to say. I used to plan sleepovers with friends around R-rated movies. Like you plan it a month ahead of time. Animal House is on at the end of the month. And now it's like you just click a button. But
just the nude scene in Airplane.
Right.
You'd be, you know, where she just runs across the screen. You were like literally waiting for that. I remember you'd have the scrambled signal and you'd kind of catch. You're like, I think I saw a breast on Skinamax. Was that a breast on?
Hey, guys, this was so fun. We got to run. I cannot thank you enough for the time tonight. Great fun. I hope we could do this again soon. And thanks for the laughs. And be careful pulling into your driveway. I don't want to see any.
I appreciate it, brother. Super fun, Pete. Great to reconnect with you, man.
You too, JB.
Congrats on the show. It's super fun.
Jeff, thanks for setting this up, buddy. Well, let's talk soon.
My pleasure. Take
care, guys. Have a great night. That's Jamie Kaler, the voice of the National Lampoon Network, and Jeff Tully, National Lampoon writer and executive producer. Two great guys hanging out at Nightlight. It was fun. I'd also like to thank Sean Katzbach and all of you who won tickets. That's going to be a great night in Marinette. So
yes.
Conrad has your information. Maybe we'll try to do a a giveaway tomorrow. Dogs won our poll, by the way, 10-6. Not a huge traffic tech night, but a pretty decisive win for the Dogs.
It was, yes.
All right. We'll be back tomorrow night with Bob Dennis and our Popcorn Pick of the Week. This has been Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, and on behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, good night, Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from 6 until 8 p.m. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming,
you're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, we'll have a guest from Planned Parenthood on how the fight to restore women's health care rights is not losing steam as Election Day draws near.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinee on Air with Jane Matinee. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM WLCX, and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.